My name is Victor. I am the youth pastor here at South Area Four Square Church. It's awesome to be in front of you guys. I'm always blessed when I have the opportunity to speak. It's good to have Pastor Ben back, man of the house back. I've been speaking a lot lately, more in the past like week and a half than I have in this year, I think. I spoke like 2 weeks or a week and a half ago at our first encounter night here in this room. That was okay. And then I spoke last Thursday at a Korean American college group, and that was really cool for me because I actually ended up speaking back in the same church building that I grew up in UW, where my family and I went to church when I was a kid. And so that's the first time we went to that church after my parents got baptized in the Holy Spirit, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. So as a 5-6-year-old kid, I would see my parents like knocked out, having, I called it Holy Spirit seizures. Like they're like, it was crazy. But I grew up seeing that. And so and then I went back to that church for the first time to speak on Thursday. Sam got me that opportunity, so thank you, Sam. And now I'm speaking today, this morning. So basically what I'm trying to say is I'm a pro now. I'm going to have a TED talk or whatever pretty soon. So you're not going to see much of me anymore, maybe all over the world. Just kidding. Anyways, so this morning we're continuing a series entitled Sent, Reaching People Where You Are Out of Who You Are. Now, we started a series the week before Pastor Ben had to leave for his paternity leave. And so just to refresh us and to bring us back up to speed to where we are at, this message is all about stirring us up and equipping us to be missionaries here on Casino Road and in South Everett, in our workplaces, in our environment, in our family, whatever sphere of society we are in. Three weeks ago, we talked about who we are. So who are we? We are a community of missionaries. We are South Everett Four Square missionaries. Now, that might sound kind of odd to you. You might think, missionaries, I don't know, missionaries sound like someone who goes to the deepest, darkest parts of the world, who tries to bring transformation, who's like in poor areas, and who meets the practical needs of a community. Like that's what a missionary is. But you got to go overseas for that. I don't know about you, but that kind of sounds like I just described Casino Road, right? Deep, dark place, poverty, in need of a massive transformation. That's here. That's right here. So what better place to have missionaries than right here on Casino Road in South Everett, right? We don't have to be Amos and Aparte in Myanmar to be missionaries. We can be missionaries right here. They're missionaries right there where they're from. So it goes the same way. So what do? We extend the gospel to our family, neighborhood, workplace, and world. So our sphere of society. How do we do it? Pastor Ben came up with a great tagline, be here, see here, free here. So be here would be being present. You know, instead of just going through the day and day tasks of your life, be present in every moment. Do what you can to be present. See here. See here would be having a greater awareness of what's going on in your surroundings. What is God doing? What is God saying? Is there someone that you see that could use a quick prayer and that can open up a doorway to talk about Christ? And then free here. Once you have the opportunity, use the power of the gospel to free them from whatever they're struggling with by the Holy Spirit. So that's kind of a recap. This morning we're going to get a little more specific and talk about how we can reach people through our story. I'm going to talk a little bit quick to get through the first part here, but why is telling our story so important? Why is it important? Well, the most basic reason why it's important is because it's one of the core aspects of our faith. One of the core aspects of our faith is telling our story. We see in the Great Commission, Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20, if you have your Bibles or your smart apps, go ahead and pull those out. Smart apps, whatever. But as always, we will have it on the screen to read. Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Given to who? Us, right. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. So the last instruction, one of the last instructions that Jesus gave to his disciples was to go make disciples, to go preach the good news, right? There was no way for the disciples to accomplish the Great Commission without telling their story, without telling their experiences that they had with Jesus. They can't just go up to someone and say, hey, believe in Jesus. Why should I believe in Jesus? Well, here, let me tell you why, because this is what he did for me. There's no way to complete the Great Commission without telling your story. Another reason why telling our story is important is because it helps us to represent the character of God a little bit better. And here's why. The reason why is because God is a personal God. Amen? He's a personal God. So the nature of God is a personal God. So in telling our story of how he impacted us personally, that shows God's character as a personal God. It's less about here's what the law says, here's all these reasons, you know, statistic A, B, and C for why you should believe in God. It's more of, hey, let me tell you a story about how God impacted my life. Let me tell you how God transformed my life. And that's what it's about. And it shows that God is so personal that he chose to come down as one of us, to be with his people. I mean, what greater way to be more personal than to just walk right next to you, to eat dinner with you, to, you know, sleep in the same room as you, to be homeless with you. Like, you get pretty close. Like, I mean, I've never been homeless, thank God, but you see those homeless guys out there on Casino Road, like, they're pretty close, right? They're right there in the midst of their presence. Another reason why telling our story is so important is because people love stories. People love to hear stories. People love to tell stories. I mean, I don't want to oversimplify, but our life is all about a story. Everything's a story. You know, for the longest time, and I still have this desire, I've wanted to visit a senior home. I used to volunteer at a senior home when I was younger. And just meet with the elderly and just hear their story. Just hear what they have. Yeah, exactly. They have amazing stories. Some of these people have served in world wars. Some of them have seen crazy things. They have a life full of experiences. So that's kind of been one of my heart, one thing on my heart. And just a side note, when I say sometimes I want to meet with you guys to have coffee and hear your story, like I mean it. So please take me up on that offer because I'd love to hear your story. I'm so interested in people's stories, like where they came from. Whenever I'm traveling or I'm in a new place, I see some random street and I always think to myself, I wonder who lives in that house. I wonder what their story is about. I don't know why. I just can't get it out of my head. Like sometimes I'll drive around randomly to just, you know, to free my mind a little bit, drive aimlessly around, and I'll go down some random street, and then I'm like, oh, what's over here? What's this guy's story? Like, that's just how my mind works. I think some of you could probably relate a little bit, I think. Maybe not. But people love stories, and hearing people's stories causes hunger. It brings hunger. It makes hunger arise in your heart. There's a man named Todd White. He's a very powerful evangelist. He sees God move in powerful ways. He sees healings, miracles, signs, wonders. He's like, if you look up Todd White on the internet, just hear any story. Pick from one of a million and you'll be inspired and you'll be hungry to have a similar experience that he has had. Hearing a story like Todd White has inspires me and causes me to hunger after something similar. Stories are very effective. Stories are very effective. Think back to a sermon you've heard or a teaching you've heard in class or wherever you're at. You know, they can go on and on and on about facts or evidence, but the moment they tell a story, I mean, they could be talking about microorganisms and how a mushroom grows from the ground, you know, 6 months prior, or I don't even know any, I'm just rambling here, but they could be talking about the most random story in the world, but the moment they tell a story about how they picked that mushroom, ate it, and then they, like, were sick for months or something, like, then it brings a reality to whatever the person is talking about. That's a silly example, but my point is, when you tell a story, it brings a sense of reality to whatever you're talking about. It makes it real. You know, I've had experiences trying to prove God to some of my friends or to other people I talk to, and there's a vast difference between when I try to prove God with evidence or with facts and with my own personal story. Because whether they believe me or not, whether they think I'm lying, the moment I say, hey, here's what happened to me, it brings a sense of reality. It just immediately shifts their mindset to process what you're about to say as reality. even if after you say it, they end up not believing you, there's that sense of reality there. Okay, moving on. Another reason why telling our story is important is because people need to hear our stories. They need to hear our stories. One of my favorite stories is in the Bible, of course. It's when Jesus heals the demoniac. And this guy, he has so many demons inside of him that when Jesus approaches him, by the way, this guy would hang out by the tombs. He'd hang out among grave sites, and they try to bind him with chains and with ropes, and he would just break out of it like Superman. And so this guy would, you know, go cause terror all over the area. So Jesus approaches this guy. He says, "What's your name?" And this guy has so many demons inside of him that he says, "My name is Legion, for we are many." Like, pick a name, any name. Like, there's a lot of me in here, right? So he has a lot of demons inside of him. Long story short, Jesus casts these demons out. The demons go into a herd of pigs. The herd of pigs go into the water, and they all drown. Talk about a waste of bacon. And then this man gets set free, and immediately he's like, "Jesus, let me follow you. Let me go with you. You just set me free. I want to go with you." But here's what Jesus says in Mark 5, verse 19 to 20. He says, "And he did not permit him, but said to him, 'Go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you.' And he went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. And everyone marveled." Everyone marveled. See, Jesus wouldn't let this demoniac follow him because the Decapolis, or a grouping of 10 cities, needed to hear what Jesus did for this man. They had to hear it. They needed to hear this story. See, our story will stir up the faith of those who hear it. It will. You know, I imagine when this demoniac, or former demoniac, ex-demoniac, went to these different cities and started telling the story, "Hey, I had like a million demons inside of me. Jesus delivered me just like that." These people are probably thinking, "Man, if this guy who's full of demons can get set free, then Jesus can set me free from my minor issue. Jesus can heal me if he healed this man. He can deliver me if he delivered this man." When we tell our story, people's faith gets stirred up. They hunger after what we experience. You know, I'm in Seattle Bible College. I took this quarter off, but one of my teachers, I will never forget what he said to us. I'll probably quote it often. But he says, "There are people waiting on the other side of our obedience." There are people waiting on the other side of our obedience. It's not just about us. It's not just about us. You see, people may find ways to disprove God, but one thing they can never disprove is our story, is our personal story. And my encouragement to us this morning is we all have a story. If you are sitting in this room and you're breathing, then you have a story. It doesn't matter who you are, where you came from, if you're rich or poor, whatever ethnicity you are, how old you are, how young you are, it doesn't matter. We all have a story. Each one of us has a story to tell. You know, my story of coming to Christ is one I've been telling pretty often lately, but I grew up in a Christian home, like I mentioned earlier, I grew up in a Christian home, various different kinds of Christian environments. You know, I grew up in the Baptist church, and I went to that Pentecostal church I told you about when my parents were borderline having a seizure. And then I went to a Korean Presbyterian church, and then I went to YWAM, which is a Christian organization in Hawaii. So I've been in numerous different environments, but because I've been so overexposed to Christianity, I was oversaturated with it. I knew too much, or I thought I knew too much. I knew too many Bible stories. I knew that God was good, but it was too much for me. It wasn't ever my own faith because I heard it so much growing up. Well, fast forward, I go to the school in Hawaii I talked about, and one night we're having this worship service, and there's playing a song, "How He Loves Us." And the chorus goes, "How he loves us, oh, how he loves us, how he loves us so." And as they're playing this chorus over and over and over, all of a sudden I feel the tangible love of God pour over my whole body. And I started weeping and crying, and tears are all over my face, snots all over my face. I couldn't stop crying because in that moment I could hear God saying to me that I don't care what you've done in your past. I don't care about your sins or where you've come from. I don't care about all these years of rebellion that you just went through. I've always loved you. I will never stop loving you. And I could hear him saying that in my heart in that moment. And that encounter, friends, changed me forever. I was never the same. From that day on, I've always followed the Lord. Yes, I've had my ups and downs, and I've made many mistakes, Pastor Ben knows. But my heart has always been the Lord's. It's never departed after I had that powerful encounter with God. And it's, in fact, that encounter is what fueled my heart behind Encounter Nights, our youth service. Because I want the young people to experience God the way that I have, so that their hearts get captivated, so that nothing else can take their heart away. I don't care what the society has to offer, or what a guy or girl has to offer, or what the world has to offer. I want them to encounter the love of God so that nothing can captivate their heart the way that God does. Right? That's my heart. But it started with a story. It started with my experience with God. You know, I have had numerous conversations with coworkers in the past, and they always start, whenever it starts to gear towards God, it always starts because of a conversation about my story. Always. It's never about, James 5 says this. No, it's God did this in my life. And let me tell you, if you're in this room and you're not confident in your story, that's okay. I wasn't confident in my story. I'm just starting to be confident in my story. What I found out is the more I told my story, the more I started reciting my story, the more clearly I saw how God moved in my life. The more clearly I was able to articulate what God has done in my life. But also it made me more hungry to add to my story. Because that story happened 6 years ago. I'm like, it's been 6 years. Let's add to the story a bit. Let's have some more crazy experiences so I have more stories to tell. My encouragement to you friends in this room is don't discount your story. Do not ever discount your story. The reason why is because even though some of you may not have a drastic turnaround story, you know, this crazy black and white story, it doesn't matter because your story is powerful, not because of you, but because of the person you encounter in your story. Your story is not powerful because of what you've come from, but because of the person you encounter in your story, which is Jesus Christ. That's why your story is powerful. It's the one you encounter that makes it powerful, not you. A story of faithfulness is just as powerful as a story of redemption. When I hear a story of someone who stayed faithful to the Lord all their lives, that inspires me, man. That makes me see that that's how good God is. That their whole life they never got distracted because that's how good God is. Pastor Chris Manginelli, he's the lead pastor of Mill Creek Forest Grove, our main congregation. Such a great pastor. And he tells a story of how he met God. And his story, real briefly, is how when he was 12 years old, he watched this Jesus movie in his living room, laying on his stomach, and then tears started flowing from his eyes because he felt the love of God similar to how I did. But from that moment on, he never departed from the Lord. As all of us, he's had ups and downs, all those things, but he's always followed the Lord. He's never went completely off on the other side like I have or others have. That story inspires me. That story inspires me because he didn't have to taste and see that other things were all right because he tasted and see that the Lord is good. Amen. He didn't need anything else. He didn't need to see or taste anything else. So I'm telling you, your story of faithfulness is just as powerful as a story of redemption. It's just as powerful. You know, some of us are natural storytellers. Some of us, maybe not so much natural storytellers. I have a coworker, a friend of mine. We've become pretty close over the past few months. He's actually who I went to Europe with. He's not a believer yet. But his name is Scott, and this guy's an awesome storyteller. It's almost like he's putting on a puppet show. He uses his hands so much when he talks. It doesn't matter what he's talking about, he can make it sound interesting because he's like, then I got this over here, and I took that piece of paper, right, and I got it over to that shredder, and I put the paper right inside the shredder, and it shredded. And see, here's the thing. Let me tell you why that's important. The reason why it's important is because that document had a lot of personal information, and I had to put it in the shredder just right. Or I'm like, wow, that's amazing. Like, what kind of shredder was it? Was it a Model Z7690 or whatever? Like, what? Wow, that's insane. Some of us aren't the best storytellers. Like, I'm growing in this area. Pastor Ben knows when I meet with him often and I tell him a story, sometimes I tell too much details. Like, he's like, hey, so how's your day? I'm like, well, I woke up at 9. I got up, changed, went downstairs, burnt my breakfast sausage, so I had to make some eggs instead. And then and I go through all my morning routine, and then he's like, all right, get to the store. He doesn't say this, but I can see in his eyes. He's so nice. He just listens so well. He's a great listener. So take him out for coffee. He'll listen to every detail you want to tell him. But, you know, so I'm not maybe the best natural storyteller because I give too much detail sometimes. So if you, whatever sphere of that, or whatever, if you're a good storyteller or a bad storyteller, my hope today is to give us some practical ways to tell our story. How do we tell our story? I hope to answer that this morning. You know, the last thing I want to do is, hey, telling your story is important. Tell your story, you have one, and then not tell you how to do it. I think there's a time and a place for messages that are just inspiring, that just is just Holy Spirit filled and causes you to hunger for whatever they're talking about. But more often than not, I'd rather hear a sermon that gives me practical steps. I'd rather learn how to apply what I'm hearing. And so that's what I hope to do today. So the first way to tell your story is to prepare your story in three different time lengths. Three different time lengths. Prepare your story for 2 minutes tops, prepare to tell your story in 10 minutes tops, and 30 minutes at maximum. Because after 30 minutes, people are tired of you talking. I'm at 20 minutes, so you got 10 minutes to stay focused. But so 2 minutes, 10 minutes, and 30 minutes. I'll tell you why it's important. But formulate your story in those three different time lengths. Write it down. Practice it. Rehearse it. Tell it to yourself in the mirror. Find a way to squeeze your story into 2 minutes, 10 minutes, I'm doing the Scott thing, and 30 minutes. Find a way to squeeze your story into those three different time lengths. Now, why these lengths? Because you never know when you're going to have the opportunity to share your story. You don't always have 30 minutes to tell your full story. Sometimes you only have less than 2 minutes to tell your story. Sometimes you have a full 30-minute story. You don't want to just tell them 2 minutes, and then they're like, what else? What else happened? Like, find a way to stretch out your story for 30 minutes. So the two-minute story would apply well if you're standing in line at Starbucks and the order, the barista's taking forever because she's bombarded with orders. Then you just have maybe like 30 seconds to a minute, and then the person behind you is like, man, this barista sucks. And then you just turn and like, well, I don't know. I don't know how I'd respond to that. But you respond in some nice, godly, Christian way, and then they're like, how are you so patient right now? How are you so... And then you can kind of, well, let me tell you, because I used to be a very angry person, but I encountered Jesus Christ, and my anger was taken away. Have you heard about Jesus before? That's just 2 minutes. Not even 2 minutes. That was like 10 seconds. A 10-minute story would apply well when you're maybe catching the last part of someone's break in the break room at work. And you just have 10 minutes to briefly tell your story because something on the TV, maybe some cheesy commercial, and then, I don't know, somehow your opportunity is placed before you. And a 30-minute testimony would work well when you're out to eat with a friend. You know, my buddy Scott, I'm using him again in my sermon. I've ate dinner with him a couple times, and oftentimes when we eat and we talk, that's an opportunity for me to share a longer version of my story from A to Z, right? Now, when do I share? I kind of briefly talked about it a little bit. When you share is whenever you can. Whenever you can. There's no good moment. There's no bad moment. Just whenever you can. Whenever the opportunity arises, share your story. You know, not all of us are prophetic people, so not all of us can see exactly what God is doing in any moment. So you might think, well, I have to be prophetic to see if this is a divine moment or not. That's false. Because God will bring you opportunities. You just have to take them. It doesn't always have to flow perfectly. Your testimony doesn't always have to be perfect. I mean, these past 20 minutes I've been talking hasn't been perfect. I've already missed a couple of things I wanted to say. But it's okay, because your main point gets across. That's what matters. Actually, a couple of days ago, I was at work, and I was talking with my supervisor. And I don't remember how the conversation turned this way. But a minute into our conversation, it turned into me telling her my story. I think I was talking about Thursday, about speaking on Thursday, and then she's like, so you told about your story encountering God. How'd you encounter God? Did he come on a chariot? Or like, she was kind of making fun, but so I was like, oh, good question. Let me tell you. And so I started telling her my story, and that just came out of nowhere. I didn't expect it. I didn't look for it. It just fell in my lap. 1 Peter 3:15. tells us to be ready at all times. It says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have when you're having a good day. No. Just always be ready. Whether you're down in the dumps, whether you're on a mountaintop, just always be ready to tell your story. Because even if you're not feeling it, the encounter you've had with God is still powerful. Even if you don't think it's that great in whatever down moment you're having in your day, it's still powerful. It's the story. Your story's not powerful because of you, but because of the one you encounter in your story. That's what makes it powerful. So always be ready. Another thing is to learn how to plant seeds when you're talking with people. Don't be ashamed of your old life. I think some of us could be ashamed of our old life or what God has delivered us from. What I like to do is sometimes when I'm talking to somebody, I don't go and, like, someone says something about anger, and I go, well, let me tell you about Jesus Christ. No, I'll just say, yeah, I got delivered from that a while ago. And that's it. And then, like, a week later, they'll be like, hey, you said, like, last week you got delivered from me. Like, what, did you take anger management or something? Or you guys probably think I'm, like, really angry now. Because I reference anger twice. Well, I'm Korean, so whatever. But, you know, so you plant those seeds, you say subtle things, and it will come back around. They will eventually ask you, hey, what was that thing you talked about? You know, it's happened multiple times to me. Drop hints of your former life to create curiosity in those who hear it. Eventually, they will ask you, so how did you end up to where you are today? They will ask you that. Lastly, stay hungry for more stories to tell. Stay hungry for more stories to tell. Like I said earlier, when I hear Todd White speak about crazy experiences he has on the plane. And I mean, this guy got into the Dome of the Rock. You can't get there unless you're Muslim. Like, he got underneath the Dome of the Rock and was able to... This guy, you can't miss Todd White. If you don't know what he looks like, he's a white guy with dreads down to his knees, and he wears, like, flamingo colors. You can't miss this guy. He gets underneath the Dome of the Rock by the grace of God. So when I hear stories like that, I'm hungry. I'm like, man, I want to experience a story like that. You know, I've told my story more often lately than in the past few years, like I said, and it's causing me to be hungry for more new stories. I want to have more stories to tell. My story is getting old on me. It's just I want to tell more stories. You know, one of my teachers in school, his name is Dan Hammer, and every time he preaches, sometimes a class is like 2 hours long, right? Sometimes the whole class is not even about whatever topic we're in. It could be about revivals and awakenings, or it could be about theology. But the whole time he's just telling story after story after story after story after story after story, because he has so much to tell because he's experienced God so much. And my encouragement for us is we have a story to tell, and we can continue to experience God. He hasn't stopped working in our lives. He will work in our lives until the very day that we go to be with him in heaven. So let's keep making stories to tell. Be here, see here, free here. That concept, it sets us up to create more stories. Because the more we are here, present in our surroundings, the more we see what God is doing, the more we free people by the power of the Holy Spirit, the more stories you have to tell. Hey, last week I was here and I saw and I freed. Here's what happened. My hope for us, all of us, is that we have a snowball effect. That the more we reach out with the stories we have, the more stories we will create. Because the moment we tell our original story, another story is happening right then and there, right? I want more stories to tell. My hope is that we don't hear this as some dreaded assignment from God. Like, oh man, I gotta tell my story. You know, let's not hear it that way. Instead, my hope is that we see it in this perspective, that God is such a personal and loving God that he chose to reveal himself through Jesus Christ and to each one of us in unique, specific, and special ways. That's how personal God is. God wants to do life with us. He wants to walk with us. He wants to be with us. Amen. The nature of this relationship is that there will be many stories to tell. If we continue to walk with God and we are aware of his presence in our lives, there will be stories to tell. I wrote this in my notes. Here's what I hear God saying. I feel like this is God's heart behind us telling our story. And it's this. I love you so much that I want to walk with you daily and reveal myself to you often so that you have a story to tell to others because I want to walk with them too. I'll say that one more time. I love you so much that I want to walk with you daily and reveal myself to you often so that you have a story to tell to others, because I want to walk with them too. Amen. So I really felt like God was saying this morning, and I'll just close by saying this, that God wants to create more stories with us. He wants to create more stories with us. You have a story to tell. I have a story to tell. Let's tell our stories. Let's reach Casino Road. Let's reach South Everett. And let's add to that story. By the end of our lives, let's be this boring storyteller that just goes on and on about all these stories about God. That's what I want to be. So, Father God, I just thank you for this morning. I thank you for revealing yourself to us in unique, special, and powerful ways. Thank you that each one of us has a story to tell. That doesn't matter if it's a drastic turnaround story or just a story of faithfulness. It is powerful because of you and you alone, not because of us. It's always been about you. God, I pray that you would stir in each one of us a hunger to see you move more powerfully in our lives and in the lives of others around us. That we would want to add to our story as much as possible. God, I pray that for those of us who felt like we've kind of lost our love for you and for people, I pray that you would reignite that flame right now in Jesus' name. That we would be people who are so in love with you that we can't help but start loving people. Jesus, thank you for our story. Thank you for encountering each one of us and for showing your love to us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
And I just want to, there's no need to add on. Let's give Victor a hand clap. Thank you, bro. Thanks for stirring and encouraging and equipping. Here's what would be incredible. Next week, we are getting together to have this, to have our Thanksgiving stretch and to have testimonies. It'd be awesome if every one of us could come up and say, I shared my story this week. Wouldn't it? Whether it was received or not. So here's the challenge. Share your story this week. Share your story this week. Okay? And then come and tell us about how you shared the story on Sunday. Amen? Love you guys. We'll see you next week.
You've been listening to a podcast from South Everett Foursquare Church. For more information about us, please visit us online at www.southeverett.org.